The megacity of Berlin hummed with life. Aaron and Lena had grown habituated to its meter-the-rain-oiled thoroughfares, the late-night cafes, the constant movement that no way sounded a break. Yet indeed, in all the noise, there were quiet moments where the world shrank down to just the two of them, their art, and the spaces between their breaths. But peace, they both knew, was fragile. It started with a dispatch from a publisher in Paris. They wanted Lena to illustrate a children's book series. Not a small design, a full time of work, traveling between Paris and the French country for exploration and collaboration. She read the dispatch audibly in their apartment, hands pulsing slightly. "I don't know what to do," she said vocally, pacing. "It's everything I've pictured of, but it's far, and it's long, and..." She traced off, looking at Aaron. "I don't want to leave you before." Aaron stepped closer, placing a hand on her shoulder. "Hey, you see I ain't passed this up. It's inconceivable. But Berlin is formally stretching us," she said. "We just started erecting a life then, and now Paris..." He took her hands, holding them steady. "Here, Lena, this isn't a choice between us and your dreams. We've proven we can carry us through distance. You flashback?" She looked down, eyes befogging. "I flashback. I want you to go," he said. "And I'll be then. Oil. Staying. Living. Until you come back. Just like ahead, but this time, we're not lost. We know the way." Her smile was soft, uncertain, but real. "You always know what to say, don't you?" "I just flash back," he said. "What matters?" Quilting for Paris was surreal. Aaron helped her fold clothes, pack skirmishes, sketchbooks, and oils. The apartment felt emptier with each bag. "I'll miss you," Lena said, hugging him tightly. "I'll miss you more," he replied, feeling the weight of those words settle in his casket. "Also, perhaps we should count the days until we see each other again," she said, trying to lighten the mood. "Or we could stop counting and just know that we will," he suggested, resting his forepaw against hers. The hack arrived. They carried her luggage to the check, a quiet pressure in the air. "Promise me commodity?" she said. "Anything." "Don't stop painting us," she said. "Don't let the work fade because I'm gone." "I would ant," he said, voice establishment. "Every color, every line, it'll be us. Indeed, from long halls down." She jounced, gashes hanging. "Also go on. Make your world then as beautiful as you make mine." He kissed her forepart. "Always." The ensuing months were a test. Berlin was both alive and lonely without her. Aaron threw himself into his oils, yet the colors he chose were different, darker, richer, heavier. He painted recollections the escarpments at evening, the cafe at dawn, her figure in the ocean wind. Every brushstroke was an echo, a way of holding her close. Letters arrived daily. She described Paris, the cobblestone thoroughfares, the lavender fields, the children she illustrated, the nights she spent in cafes sketching ideas. He read each one precisely, smiling, laughing, occasionally crying still when the craving came too heavy. They spoke on the phone whenever time zones allowed, but it was no way enough. Aaron set up himself wandering the thoroughfares of Berlin at night, sketchbook in hand, searching for a presence in murk, reflections, neon lights. He realized that being piecemeal had revealed commodity essential. It wasn't just about being together physically. It was about keeping the connection alive, through art, words, and memory. One evening, while sketching near the Swash, he encountered a small crowd gathered outside a gallery. An improvisational exhibition had sprung up, original artists, youthful and empty for recognition, displaying work that palpitated with raw life. Among them was an oil that caught his eye incontinently, a small gouache, soft blues and golds blending like daylight over the escarpments. It was hers. He moved closer. Lena's hand was there, faint but unmistakable. A small car below read, "Part of a trip, to find where the heart truly belongs." Aaron felt a stitch, craving, yes, but also pride. She was creating, thriving, bringing herself completely into the world. And the distance between them, however painful, had made their connection stronger, more purposeful. Weeks latterly, Lena returned to Berlin. Aaron met her at the train station. She looked exhausted but radiant. her hair sun-kissed from a French country, her eyes still that pictorial blue he'd learned times agone. "You did it," he said, embracing her tightly. "We did it," she corrected, resting her head against his shoulder. They walked home hand in hand, laughing still, participating stories of Paris, of the work, of the children she had met. And for the first time in months, Berlin felt like home not because of the megacity, but because they were together. Their new plant buzzed with energy. They began a cooperative series, oil sketches and illustrations that intertwined their styles so fully that it was insolvable to tell where Aaron ended and Lena began. Their work came a dialogue, an ongoing discussion about life, love, and the beauty of participated creation. Callers to their exhibitions remarked on the closeness of the pieces, the way light and color dance across the oil as if breathing with the artists themselves. Aaron noticed commodities subtle but profound. Lena's presence in her art was no longer a memorial of craving. It was a living, breathing force, vibrant, confident, intertwined with his own vision. One evening, after a long day of oil, they walked the roof of their structure. The megacity stretched below, neon lights reflecting in billabongs after recent rain. "I suppose we've eventually learned commodity," Lena said vocally, leaning against him. "Which is," he asked, "that love doesn't always need to be constant to be real," she said. "But when it's constant, it doesn't need to be perfect. It just needs to live in the moments we choose it." He smiled, pressing his forepart against hers. "I like that. A lot. Do you ever lament anything?" she asked, tipping her head to look at him. "Nothing," he said forcefully. "Not the waiting, not the distance, not the fear. It all led me to you." "And you," he asked, "ever lament?" "Not for an alternate," she said. "Indeed, the times I allowed, I had to leave. I was learning how to come back, how to love better." They stood there for long while the megacity lights a blur, the air crisp, the skies stretching out endlessly over. The weeks that followed were a meter of creation and life. They traveled together sometimes, suddenly passages to study geographies, to parade in near municipalities, to gain alleviation from the world outside Berlin. But they always returned, carrying new colors, new ideas, and a deeper sense of what it meant to be mates, artists, and suckers. Every oil they completed, every sketch they participated, came a testament to adaptability. The adaptability of love, the adaptability of art, and the adaptability of two people who refuse to be lost again. One night, as they packed a new series for a gallery opening, Lena broke, looking at Aaron with that same unvarying blue in her eyes. "You know what I realized?" she said. "What?" he asked. "That we've eventually learned to stop running from life, from love, from each other. And perhaps that's the hardest assignment of all." He smiled, belting his arms around her. "Also, we've earned it. And we'll keep earning it," she said, pressing her impertinence against his. Outside, Berlin slept under a mask of stars, but inside their plant, the world felt endless, an oil of possibilities, painted in every color of love, trust, and the courage to keep returning to the one horizon that signified most each other. The days following the gallery opening were a blur. Callers came and went, their faces amped with curiosity, delight, and occasionally unbelief. Aaron and Lena answered questions, smiled for prints, and guided people through the story of their collaboration, without ever revealing particular chapters that made each oil palpitation with life. The gallery buzzed with energy, but behind the walls, their lives began to shift in subtle ways. Aaron set up himself moping on certain oils, tracing the lines with his fritters, feeling the echoes of their participated hours in each brushstroke. He noticed how Lena would occasionally watch him while he did this, a small, knowing smile lugging at her lips. "You're hung up," she said one evening, leaning against the doorway of the plant. "I'm appreciating," he corrected, though his voice was half joking. "Sure," she said, rolling her eyes. "We call it love, Aaron." He laughed still. "Fine. Love, also. But love is dangerous when it lives in makeup." "Perhaps that's the point," she replied. The problem was, the rest of the world was impatient like the ocean. A week after the opening, a gallery in Berlin reached out to feature their common exhibition overseas. It was instigative, prestigious. the kind of occasion Aaron had pictured of back before Lena had returned to the escarpment. Before their hands set up each other again, he read the dispatch audibly to Lena in their plant, watching as her expression shifted from excitement to concern. "It's Berlin again," she said vocally. "This time, together. But you're upset I'll get lost in the megacity?" he asked. She shook her head. "No, I'm upset we'll lose this." She signaled to the plant, to the oils, to the space they had made for themselves in the small city and in each other's lives. "I'm hysterical that the life we've erected then will feel lower when we're nearly differently." Aaron allowed about it. The megacity had no way felt lower before the lights, the noise, the movement. But now it did, in a way he hadn't understood until he set up Lena by the escarpments. "Perhaps," he said eventually, "perhaps it's not the place that matters. Perhaps it's the people." Her eyes softened. "You mean us?" "Yes," he said. "Us. Indeed in Berlin. Indeed in chaos. Indeed in new faces and openings we take this with us. We do and leave it before." The decision was immediate, but ultimately, they agreed. Berlin would be an adventure together, packing up their work, arranging transport, and preparing for months down was exhausting. Aaron felt a strange weight in his casket. Expectation, excitement, and commodity heavier than knowledge that leaving the escarpments meant leaving a part of themselves before. One evening, after a long day of medication, Lena walked to the edge of the escarpments alone. The sun was sinking, casting the water in molten gold and sanguine. Aaron followed still, not wanting to intrude, but not wanting to be left alone moreover. "You'll be okay," she said before he could speak, reading the solicitude in his eyes. "I'm upset about us," he admitted. She laughed vocally, a sound that carried across the swells. "We'll be fine. We always find each other." "You make it sound easy," he said. "It is ant," she said. "But perhaps that's what makes it worth it." They stood in silence for a long while, letting the wind carry their words down. Berlin was inviting at first. The megacity was alive in a way the literal city no way had been. Constant stir, endless noise, neon signs reflecting in billabongs after rain, non-natives brushing history like murk. Their exhibition drew critics, collectors, and curious bystanders. The gallery was larger than any they had worked in ahead. Oil stretched across walls, frames glowing under bright lights, the scent of fresh makeup mixing with polished bottoms. But amid the chaos, they set up their meter again. They painted late into the night in their temporary plant apartment, letting the megacity hum outdoors, while they created worlds of their own. Aaron noticed how Lena had begun to integrate cityscapes into her pieces. Rooftops, streetlights, rain billabongs reflecting neon signs. Her colors shifted. The soft blues of the ocean gave way to stripes of amber and violet, hints of sword gray, splashes of vibrant red. He loved the elaboration. Each brushstroke felt like her voice, her perspective on a world they were both still learning to navigate. Also came the moment that tested their new life together. A famed collector requested a private viewing, an offer that would buy the maturity of their work, leaving only many pieces for the gallery and their particular collection. The plutocrat was life, changing. But the study parted with their oils, the hours of horse laugh, quiet exchanges, dissensions, and triumphs bedded in each oil, felt insolvable. Aaron and Lena argued that night in their apartment. "We say ant vend everything," Lena said, pacing. "These aren't just oils. They're recollections. They're us." "They're also our ticket to keep going," he combated. "We say ant stay small ever. We need to reach people. Lena, we need to show them our story." "You're saying we've to compromise us," she said, her voice pulsing. "No," he said. "I'm saying we've to trust that what we've erected can survive a little distance. That it isn't just in the makeup. It's in us." She stopped pacing, gaping at him. "And if it is ant..." He stepped closer. "That also we start again. Together. We've done it ahead." Her expression softened, and after a long pause, she jounced. "Okay. Together." The private viewing went better than they could have hoped. The collector was enchanted by the interplay of their styles, the closeness of participated life captured on oil, the sprightliness of two hearts reflected in color. By the end, Aaron and Lena had vended utmost of their work. They kept just many pieces, enough to flash back the escarpments, the cafe, the ocean, enough to bring home. As they walked the quiet thoroughfares of Berlin that night, hand in hand, Lena said vocally, "I didn't suppose I could feel at home then." "You are," Aaron said. "With me?" She smiled, resting her head on his shoulder. "Also, let's pledge not to forget what this feels like." "I promise," he said. The megacity stretched around them, vast and endless. But for the first time, Aaron didn't feel lost. He didn't feel small. He felt anchored. A many weeks latterly, in a quiet moment before another gallery opening, Lena showed him a new series of oils she'd been working on intimately. Pictures of people they had passed on the thoroughfares, non-natives whose transitory expressions had moved her. "Why are you showing me now?" he asked. "Because I want you to see that I've grown too," she said. "I'm not just following you. I'm chancing my own colors in this world." He studied her work, noticing the subtle shifts, the enterprising splashes of color, the abstraction of form, the honesty of observation. "You've always been brilliant," he said. "But this is different. It's you, completely." She smiled vocally. "And you?" "I'm literacy," he said. "I'm learning to hold everything we've been and everything we're getting, without trying to control it all." She reached for his hand, and he squeezed it gently. "You suppose we're ready for whatever comes next?" she asked. He looked out the window, the megacity lights reflecting in the billabongs. "I suppose we are, because whatever comes, we face it together." And for the first time in a long while, both of them believed it. The literal city had changed since the first time Aaron arrived, though the ocean remained the same, vast, endless, patient. But commodity about it felt different now, as if the runs themselves had shifted to match the meter of two hearts learning how to live side by side. Aaron's days had a new shape. He still woke beforehand, coffee in hand, sketchbook open, but the sketches were no longer just solitary contemplations on memory or craving. Lena had begun joining him, painting alongside him, her fritters soiled with color, her eyes bright with attention. At first, it was conditional. Their skirmishes and pencils no way touched the same runner, and their hands stayed on their own work. But over time, their art began to mingle. Subtle strokes of color that imaged each other, a participated understanding growing in silence. One morning, they walked down to the escarpments together, oil slung over their shoulders. The sun had just started to rise, painting the sky in pinks and golds. "Flash back the first time you brought me then?" Lena asked, conforming her scarf. He jounced. "I flash back. You looked like the horizon wanted to claim you." She laughed vocally. "I felt like the horizon was my only friend." He glanced at her. "You no way demanded musketeers when you had courage. Or perhaps madness. I see and tell which." "Both," she said, beaming. "And you demanded me to see it, supposedly." He smiled noiselessly. "Yeah, supposedly." They set up their easels on the edge of the precipice, the wind lugging at their hair and clothes. Aaron began with light sketches, pencil strokes mapping the angles of the geography. Lena mixed colors in her palette, reluctant at first, also gradationally bolder, cobalt blues bleeding into soft lavenders, ochres melting into gentle reds. "You're getting briskly," Aaron said, noticing how her strokes were getting more confident. "I've had good alleviation," she replied, smiling over her shoulder. For hours, they painted side by side, their silence speaking further than words ever could. Aaron glanced at her from time to time, the cock of her head, the way her lips pressed into attention, the light catching the edges of her hair, and felt a palpitation in his casket that was ent fear or craving, but commodity steadier, gentler, more profound. After they packed up, Lena suggested a walk along the sand. The beach was cool under their bare bases, the swells washing over their toes in sudsy bursts. "You know," she said, remonstrating at a small shell, "I no way allowed we'd get then." "Then," he asked, this calm, this closeness. "It feels like we're eventually allowed to be together, without holding back." He jounced. "It's strange how long it took us to realize that. Some assignments take longer than others," she said. "But perhaps it was worth it. All the lost time, all the waiting." "It was," he said. "And perhaps now it's about what comes next, not what we've missed. She looked up at him, her eyes a shade of blue that still made him catch his breath. What comes next? He smiled noiselessly. Whatever we want. As long as we keep returning to this to us, to the ocean, to the way it feels to be alive. Over the coming many weeks, their art took a new direction. They began working on a common exhibition, a collection that captured the closeness of participated life, the quiet moments that felt monumental only because they were real. Their plan came a chaotic sanctuary. Paints lined every face, skirmishes jumbled in jars, and sketches lay scattered like vestiges of memory. But amid the chaos, a meter surfaced. Lena would read passages from books audibly while Aaron painted, letting the meter of words guide his hand. He'd show her sketches of the escarpments, the cafes, the city's winding thoroughfares, and she'd respond with colors that spoke louder than any word. It was ent perfect. Occasionally, they argued over tones or composition. Occasionally, she got frustrated when he dallied too long over details. Occasionally, he frowned when she mixed colors he allowed disaccorded. But those arguments were no way sharp enough to hurt. They were just part of literacy to work as one, part of creating a language neither had completely spoken before. One evening, as the sun dipped below the horizon, they walked to the escarpments again. The sky was oil of its own, stripes of amber and violet, shadows edged with tableware. "I've been allowing," Lena said, brushing a beachfront of hair behind her observance, "about leaving the city for a while. Traveling. Seeing other places. Getting alleviation." Aaron lowered slightly. "For how long?" "Not sure," she admitted. "A month? Two? Perhaps longer if I find a place that calls to me." He dithered. "And what about us?" She smiled vocally. "That's the thing. I do and suppose leaving has to mean losing. You tutor me that love doesn't have to end to be real. Perhaps it can stretch, like the horizon, further than we can see." He jounced sluggishly. "So, you're asking me to trust a distance?" "Yes," she said. "To trust what we've erected. Indeed, when I'm not then." He looked out at the ocean, swells breaking in steady meter. "It'll be hard." "It'll be worth it," she said. "And we'll have new colors when I come back." He smiled noiselessly, his casket tensing in a way he couldn't relatively describe. "Okay. Also, I'll trust it." Their days were filled with medication for the exhibition. The gallery and city had agreed to host them concertedly, and the small, white, walled space was beginning to fill with oils that captured both their hands, their hearts, their participated world. Some pieces were non-fictional. The escarpments, the cafe, the bank. Others were abstract. Swirls of blue and lavender, jagged lines softened by golden light, brushstrokes that sounded a hum with life. Callers came from near municipalities, curious about the collaboration. They marveled at how two distinct artists could combine their visions so seamlessly, how each oil felt alive, intimate, like stepping into a memory that was ain't yours but felt familiar. Aaron noticed Lena, watching him further than the crowd. There was pride in her eyes, a wimpiness that made his casket pang in the stylish way. "You've changed," she said still during a pause in callers. "Not really," he replied. "I just paint else now." "You paint like someone who's home," she said. He smiled. "Perhaps I am." The night before the exhibition opened, they stayed late in the plant. The city was quiet, the cafe closed, the thoroughfares empty. Lena set down her encounter and said, "Do you ever worry we'll lose this?" "Every day," he admitted. "But I also know that it doesn't matter. What matters is what we do with it while we weave it." She walked over and rested her head against his shoulder. "I'm glad it's us. Indeed with the miscalculations. Indeed with the distance we'll face." He kissed her hair. "Me too. Always me too." And in that quiet room, girdled by the echoes of color and memory, they held each other, knowing that the future would bring query, challenges, and changes, but also that whatever came, they would face it together. The coming morning, the gallery opened. Light streamed to the windows, illuminating every brushstroke, every sketch. Callers rumored, smiled, and dallied. The city buzzed gently with excitement. Aaron and Lena stood side by side, watching non-natives engage with their work. Some laughed at familiar moments. Others stopped in silence, caught in the closeness of captured life. A little girl ran to an oil depicting the escarpments and refocused. "Look, Mommy, it's the ocean." Lena smiled at Aaron. "They see it too." "Yes," he said still. "But they don't see it like we do." "No," she agreed. "And that's okay. It's ours first." As the sun climbed advanced, discovering gold across the gallery, Aaron realized that love, like art, didn't have to be endless to be profound. It could be a practice, a diurnal choice, a return to the same horizon indeed, when the drift shifted. And for the first time in a long time, he felt the kind of peace that comes from knowing you're exactly where you belong.